Hello and welcome to the EMG Health Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia. Today, I'm tackling an area that has great personal connection for me, Parkinson's disease. I'm joined today by two wonderful people, Russ Bradford and Charlotte Allen, who jointly founded Parkinson's Concierge, an enterprise focused on helping those living with what is a very tough disease. Charlotte was born in Torquay, a British seaside town, worked in the hotel and leisure business, and then the recruitment and insurance industries. Prior to his diagnosis, Russ was managing three businesses he had established. And then everything changed. Russ and Charlotte are very vocal activists in Parkinson's disease, and they co-founded Parkinson's Concierge, a virtual health and well-being platform that is the go-to place for people with the disease. They work to generate awareness, build a global community, and improve the quality of life for those affected by Parkinson's. Their knowledge of and passion for the condition make them perfect guests. Russ and Charlotte, welcome.
Hi.
So, the story how the two of you met is quite a tale, and one which has also been the subject of a short film called Stages, referring to the stages of the disease. Can you tell us how you met and why you agreed to have your story told in this film, which is really deeply personal and which I watched? It's a very tough but touching story. So, Charlotte, why don't you start?
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for inviting us on the podcast. My story about meeting Russ is quite an unusual one. We met on a Facebook support group that Russ was running, and we had a thing called a meet and greet where everyone goes along and meets each other face to face. The rest of it's history, really. Got on so well, had so much in common, and really we wanted to tell our stories, share our lives, you know, really to help others. And that's why we went ahead and agreed to get a film made of our true life story. Everything in it is true, and we just wanted to share that with people. You know, there is life after diagnosis.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is, and we'll come on and talk to this a lot more, a lot of it is about, it's not just the disease and the symptoms it causes, of course, tremor, rigidity, and problems with sensation, gait, facial expressions, sleep, so many things, but it's also the dis-ease, the impact it has on those around one. Russ, what about you?
Again, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for the invite to be on here today. Like Charlotte said, we both met at a meet and greet. I actually dressed up as a pirate, so the first thing that Charlotte saw of me was being dressed as a pirate.
Yeah, it's depicted in the movie, and it's quite an amusing, segment. So, Russ, let's go with the point of diagnosis. You were first diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2012, I believe, ironically, on American Independence Day, July the 4th. Can you tell us about the lead up to the diagnosis and what it was like hearing those three words?
Yeah, sure, Jonathan. Being self-employed at the time, it was very seldom that I had the need to go to a GP. It was either, you know, get on with it or take time out of what was very busy businesses that I had at the time. Leading up to my diagnosis, I started noticing a few of the many symptoms associated with Parkinson's. I went to the GP, and on three/four occasions, I was told it was nothing to worry about. It was a trapped nerve in my shoulder. You know, just give it time. It was ironic that I was diagnosed with Parkinson's on Independence Day, diagnosed with what's called young onset Parkinson's disease, or YOPD. You know, Parkinson's will eventually take away my independence. So that's one of those ironies that I live with and I tell people about.
Charlotte, tell us your diagnosis story.
Yes, I was diagnosed aged 36. I'd unfortunately been widowed the year before, and I was left with my son at the time, who's 5 years old. It was really, really tough because obviously I was getting over losing my husband. And then a year down the line, I was losing my confidence to go out on my own. I knew I was sort of walking in an awkward way, and people just said they thought I had a back problem or there was something wrong with my back because I've always walked like that. And I went to my GP, and I was lucky because he recognised the signs of Parkinson's. I was referred on my private medical insurance, and I was lucky because I was diagnosed within a week.
So tell me, Parkinson's Concierge, you list three key objectives: creating awareness, building a global community where people affected by the disease can meet, interact, develop friendships, and improving quality of life for those impacted by the disease. What was the inspiration you both had to start Parkinson's Concierge? Obviously, you both had the condition and understood it firsthand, but, you know, some people just battle on and live their lives. You decided to do something about it.
Well, Jonathan, it's quite frustrating the amount of time and the amount of money that's been invested into research with regards to Parkinson's, and no cures in sight. There's very little coming through with regards to new treatments. So we thought we'll set up Parkinson's Concierge, but we'll set it up as a for-profit organisation rather than a charity, mainly because there's two or three fantastic charities that do a good job and we didn't want to dilute it any further. So where we come in is we campaign globally, we create awareness, we'll talk to anyone who will let us talk about Parkinson's. Russ and I have even been on Couples Come Dine With Me to create awareness of Parkinson's. We want to do this because there's so many people suffering silently that we need to get out there and tell the story of what it's like to live with this incurable, debilitating condition.
And how do you use the platform to achieve those goals? Give us some examples. Russ, why don't you start?
Some of the goals that we try and achieve is to target the main people within the corporate world. Let's take the holiday insurance, for example. We've partnered up with a company that offers holiday insurance once the lockdown's lifted, for people with medical conditions. You know, a few of us still want to go on holiday, we want to enjoy ourselves, and the last thing we want is to be penalised by paying higher prices. So Charlotte and I negotiate with these people.
Yeah, so I notice there's a phrase you use. You refer to people with or people with Parkinson's, PWP, rather than patients. And
yeah,
I've seen that happen a lot with a number of disease advocacy groups where people say, you know, just because I got this doesn't mean I'm not suddenly now a patient. I'm a patient when I'm seeing a doctor. So that's a sensible approach, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very much the case that people who care for their loved ones or somebody with Parkinson's, not always do they like to be referred to as a carer. Quite often the word pillar, as in pillar of support,
I like
partner.
That. There are some approaches that we as healthcare professionals take. We're very often more focused on the mechanics of the disease than the emotional, psychological, or social impact on patients. So Russ and Charlotte, now that you've got the bully pulpit, what would you say to them about how they can better support their patients who've been diagnosed and are living with this disease? Charlotte, why don't you go first?
I think really it's a difficult one to understand unless you've got the actual condition. What we would like initially is a better sort of experience for people that are newly diagnosed, and giving them more support, more information, signposting and everything. But I mean, everyone in the medical profession has got to understand that Parkinson's is different for somebody being diagnosed at an earlier working age and somebody who's not of working age. Obviously, it's just as traumatic, but the problems are totally different depending on what age you are and what responsibilities and what stage of your life you're at. But really, our key thing is, you know, we're going to be sending out awareness videos. We're going to be creating awareness videos for GPs and medical professionals. And we just want them to listen and understand that it's different for everyone. No two people suffer the same symptoms and react to the same medication the same. We're all different. And that's what the complexity is of the situation. And that's why I believe it's harder to solve or harder to find what actually causes the condition.
So obviously we're still in the midst of this wretched COVID-19 pandemic, and there's been deprioritization in certain areas. Certainly oncology was widely published, cancer care. What are you hearing about the impact of COVID-19 on Parkinson's, on people living with Parkinson's, both in their day-to-day lives as well as in screening, research, and so on?
At the start of the pandemic, there was very little information whether Parkinson's was classed as, whether people with Parkinson's were classed as vulnerable or extremely vulnerable. And there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing on like blog sites and Facebook groups to determine whether people with Parkinson's were, which list they were on, as it were.
Also, I want to add on that I think the way the government went about it as well, I think they panicked people with the condition so much. I think their main aim is to stay away from hospitals, when normally they would go in and be checked for something. They were going nowhere near the hospitals, were they?
No, that's right.
Well, in fairness, I think they were saying, you know, if you've got chest pain, if you've got this, if you've got that, you still should go.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, anytime physicians, healthcare practitioners, we tend to communicate what we know to be a fact. And the problem was, there was so much that we didn't know about this disease. And unfortunately, the blank spots got filled in by, you know, conspiracy theorists and all sorts of other folks. Let's move on a little bit. So raising awareness is an oft-stated goal for other patient advocacy groups. How do you view that? And how do you think you go about it differently? And if so, how? And what does it mean for you?
How we're different and how we view this at Parkinson's Concierge is you need to raise awareness out of the community. Everyone knows in the community they've got it. So we tend to go out to corporate companies. We go to seminars. Also, last year we were invited to hold our own conference track, the first ever of patients doing their own track. And we did that at Giant Health in December, which was something really exciting for us because we've never ever done anything like that before, but it resulted in a lot of new inquiries and raised the awareness globally that we were hoping it would.
Oh, good on you. In fact, one of your mantras is to ensure that no decisions about you are created without you. And again, this is something I've heard from different communities of people who are paraplegic, nothing for us without us. So how is that germane to the world of Parkinson's?
Well, for us, we really see ourselves as the Parkinson's experts just purely because we live with the condition and we're the people who know sort of most about the condition. But just to show how serious we are about what we do, we've actually done our own research paper, been supported by WPP Health. And this has been, this is going to be published in the British Medical Journal. And we're going to try and campaign and change the way that our care is delivered to make it more tailor-made towards the individual.
Well, congratulations on the upcoming publication. I'm certainly a big fan of patients being involved in the distribution of care and how care is delivered. you know, as physicians, we do our best, but it's difficult to walk in another man's or woman's shoes. Providing emotional support is a critical component of care. And if you think about it, the word health care means to provide care. And as the poignant movie showed, it's sometimes hard to access that within the family. And I know about that. I've had personal experience of that. How does a group like yours provide help?
Well, we know that when you get a diagnosis of Parkinson's, it's not just a diagnosis for you, it's the whole family that gets affected one way or another. With us, though, what we're trying to do now is set up like a buddying scheme. So we're there for people when they need us. And there's quite a few people, charities, neurologists, Parkinson's nurses involved in this idea and new initiative that we have. And we want to be able to provide the support for the whole family, not just the person living with the condition, but, you know, all those that are affected by the condition.
Well, so my final question to both of you, if you woke up tomorrow and discovered that you're king and queen of Parkinson's, what three things would you do to improve the lot of those who are living with this disease?
I would implement a greater rollout of the multi-disciplined Parkinson's centres up and down the country. Remember that there's 147,000 people living with the condition now. It is also
in the UK.
In the UK, 10 million worldwide. It's also the fastest growing neurological condition in the world. Going to see a neurologist could be coincided with going to see a physiotherapist, going to see a psychologist. So creating like multidisciplined centres are the way forward. Charlotte, have you got any?
Yeah, for me, really, I think it's all about changing the way that care is delivered, making it more personalised to the person. And also for me too, I would like to see more research and more money being spent on the non-motor symptoms of Parkinson's, mental health, sleep, pain, all those things that people don't see when they look at you and aren't aware that those symptoms are connected with Parkinson's, and they're the ones that are most bothersome to people in their daily lives.
And if I can add one last one, Jonathan.
Sure.
I'd like to see, you know, this might be controversial, but I'd like to see the dynamics of charities changing as well to basically be more representative of the condition, employing people with Parkinson's at a greater level. That's got to be of high importance. I think that's quite controversial, but
I don't know. I think it makes perfect sense, actually. And both of you are a true inspiration. You've got my utmost respect. I think the work that you're doing is amazing. And thank you for being on our podcast today.
Thanks for the invitation, Jonathan.
Well, folks, that's all we have time for today. I hope you were inspired by this podcast. And remember, there are plenty more that you can hear at the EMG Health Podcast site and wherever you get your podcasts. Please like us on social media and tell your friends to listen in. You can also email me at drjonathansakia@gmail.com and write to me if you've got questions, comments, recommendations for future podcasts. Until next Friday, stay safe, stay well, be kind. Bye for now.